Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I am your host, Chris Chin. Do me a favor, give me a follow, a subscribe, a like. Help me out as we get this channel off and rolling for 2025-26. Portland game last night, preseason game two. Taught us a few things, a couple things we knew from last year a bit, but just reminded us of a few things. And coming off that exciting win against the Lakers and full of optimism and Horford looks great and yada, yada, yada. A humbling reminder that the Warriors really struggled last year and may this year with athletic, lengthy, young, fast, explosive teams like Portland. Warriors started a little bigger with this. I guess Kerr called it his big lineup, where you're starting Horford at the five, Draymond, Jimmy, and then we went with Moody at the two and Steph at the one. I think it's going to be something that's interchangeable with Moody and Melton when he's back with this lineup. Knowing Steve and just with this configuration of this lineup, you're going to need a point of attack defender. And spoiler alert, this is one of the Achilles heels of the Warriors, is that perimeter defense. Point of attack defense, really, since we lost Wiggins, Moody has been pretty good. He's definitely stepping up and embracing that role and puts good ball pressure on, gets a lot of steals, hands in the crossover and in the passing lanes. However, just not quite as good at staying in front of the more athletic and quick guards, especially of the league. Steph Curry, who is a capable defender, you're not going to ask him to be in that role. And more specifically, throughout the course of the regular season, you're just not asking Steph to give you that kind of effort, basically shutting off the perimeter. We know he can do it at the end of games. We know he can do it in the playoffs when it matters most, but you're just not asking no team is asking their best offensive player and their generational superstar to exert that much effort on defense until the biggest times in the game. So Moody, this lineup, I think while Moody's improving, left a lot to be desired. There's just nothing but penetration, rotation by our bigs, who are very good at that back end, but in turn that's going to open up a lot on the around the three-point arc. And Portland went, what were they, like 14 for 26 in that first half, or just something crazy, where it's they were getting open shots, they were hitting those open shots, which is going to happen, but essentially you saw what the Warriors' biggest Achilles heel is going to be, particularly on defense, and that's just having a little slower feet, not very good perimeter defense. And hopefully that's something that D'Anthony Melton solves a lot of. It's something that GP2 is supposed to be there for, but I don't know, guys. The early returns on GP2, I'm not seeing the same quickness, explosiveness. Got just swatted at the rim, going up for a dunk, but just not quite the shutdown, Revis Island type isolation point of attack defender that you used to see out of him. Pajemski, that's not his forte on ball. And then you see Moody, who's going to give it his best shot and get every opportunity. And then you can maybe put Kuminga in that role, but again, it's going to depend on matchups, and he's not going to be, playing the shooting guard position. So Warriors are going to have to figure out what you're going to do there. Looking at this starting lineup, so yeah, we went with big positional size. It might be the first time in I don't know how many years that the Warriors had good positional size across their starting lineup. And again, I liked the idea, and we're going to see a lot of this lineup, but it's going to depend on how that perimeter defense falls into line. If it doesn't work, you're going to probably see the Warriors starting small. You're going to see different combinations where you're just going to have to get more perimeter defenders in there, whether if that's Melton in a few months, maybe only a month, we'll see, or just someone else. But that is a huge problem. And when I think of the Warriors and their lack of, or and their age, obviously the health is a concern, but really what the age means to me is just, they're just a little slow footed, a little laterally slow. And that's also just the personnel. The Warriors aren't the most athletic team. They're not the quickest and not the most explosive. It's why Jonathan Kuminga was one of those guys you say, man, we were going to lose Kuminga, and where does any explosiveness come from on either side of the ball? So yeah, I mean, the Warriors aging, not the most athletic ever really to begin with. And this is what it looks like. So that's question number one, issue number one that the Warriors are going to have all season long in front of the most elite guards and even elite, rim pressure type players. How do you get stops? It might just come down to the back end. Problem is, you don't have a great rim protector in terms of like a two blocks and just like a Wembanyama or an Anthony Davis, just someone back there just going to protect everything towards the rim. It's Horford, it's Draymond. They're good as rim protectors, but they're a little undersized. And the reason they're going to be good is because as they're rotating over, they're in great help defense. Well, that puts your defense into rotation, and now you're getting kickouts for three. How do you solve that problem? Other problem on the other side of the ball, kind of a similar idea, just it's perimeter base. It is the Warriors' lack of ball handling and playmaking. Where is transition offense going to come from? It is why you see Draymond pods pushing as much as you humanly can on made baskets, missed baskets. Warriors are always trying to push, get out and run before the defense gets set because we are very limited in that half court trying to create and play make when Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler doesn't have the ball in their hands. Where else does dribble penetration really come from? Pajemski, I mean, he's a ball handler. He's a guard, but he doesn't have the best handle. He's not the type of, crafty ball handler that's going to get to every spot on the court. He's not going to just make defenders pay for, overplaying and trying to pressure him. Not built at that quite that way. He's just a very solid ball handler. Draymond Green, I mean, for everything that Draymond does as a playmaker, I think we would all agree that just the ball handling and more so just the terrible decisions on a lot of passes. You've seen it a lot already. Dre, I mean, I can't really even preach to you to reel it in because I know that's not going to happen, but it is a problem for the Warriors is taking care of the ball, making better passes, ball handling. And to answer my own question in terms of, where does this transition ball handling, where does a lot of this just more secure, solid playmaking decisions come from? Al Horford's pretty good. I mean, he's a center, but you saw him get out and run that break, and I forget who he passed it to, but he got out, ran, looked pretty good and spry, comes a nice jump stop by the free throw line and dishes it for a layup from I forget who again. That's a nice weapon to have, but my point being is, where does this extra ball handling come from if Steph's not on the floor? Melton, again, I'm going to look to improve this a bit, but it looks like the Warriors, they reach for other needs in the offseason. Horford, obviously a great signing, Melton, a great signing, but there was clamoring by like Marcus Thompson, like go get a Coby White, get somebody like that that can handle the ball, create ball pressure or rim pressure. Something that the Warriors don't really have, and it's hard to find see where it comes from. It's something that Pat Spencer gives you a little bit of, but the lack of shooting and other things from him. But he's had success because he can handle the ball and get to spots. So yeah, the two things are Warriors perimeter defense, Warriors perimeter ball handling, playmaking offense. Need a little bit of quickness, explosiveness. It's something that they try to combat by having their ball movement and everyone touches the ball. You have much better spacing now, which is going to help try to combat that. But those are the two things that I think are going to be bigger problems than even just staying healthy and just like a lack of perceived size. I think that the Warriors can make up for that, and they battle hard on the boards, and they can make up for a size disadvantage. The speed, the perimeter play, something that we're going to have to keep an eye on all season long. Interestingly enough, that starting lineup came out about, well, timeout at 6 minutes, assumed everyone's going to come out or at least a few guys and get to the rotations. Kerr left them in for another minute and a half, 2 minutes, just to get them playing a little bit more together. He admitted that they just weren't ready to play and wanted to get a little extra look to see what you got there because that is a new lineup. It's definitely in consideration to potentially be our closing five lineup, with that shooting guard spot maybe a little interchangeable. But, those are, in theory, your four best players and Steph, Jimmy, Dre, and Horford. Who's that fifth piece that's going to make that work? And Moses Moody got a nice long look, and it didn't look great overall for the Warriors there. Other just kind of notes from the game. So we saw a second unit of it was Pods, JK, Buddy, GP, and Post. Played a lot of minutes together. I want to say they played at least like 8 to 10 minutes together across two different stints in that first half. Did they start the second half? I forget, but they were about like a minus 15 together. Did not look good. I think the lack of front court defense, the lack of a ball handler and someone that can create. I mean, it's really just kind of pods there. Kuminga in theory can give you some offense, but he's kind of in between limbo, like passive mode right now. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. And Buddy's being aggressive. I actually like what Buddy's just been in kill mode. Every time he's hunting his shot, and he hasn't hit everything, but Buddy's actually looked pretty good offensively, and like he's in his flow and in a rhythm. So you can get some offense there. But again, GP, I don't know. I can see GP not getting that many minutes this year. His athleticism has waned a little bit. He's a good chemistry with Steph, but outside of that, he's not giving you a lot. Just standing in the corner, shooting 31% ish from three, and then on defense, being an undersized, no longer elitely athletic player who is probably still an above average point of attack defender, but it needs to be elite to stay on the floor there. And Post got it going later in the game in that fourth quarter. Great, great comeback by the Warriors. And between Post and then I want to talk about LJ Cryer and Will Richard, but that second unit didn't get it done. So I don't know if Steve Kerr will be going back to that, but he got a good look at it. Just quick notes. I mean, Will Richard, LJ Cryer, something the Warriors have just seemed to do well and why they've tended to find good value in the draft, late second round picks. You're drafting guys that have had success in college playing for championship level teams, right? They're getting great coaching. They're going to be taught the fundamentals well, just part of just playing big games and having big game experience. LJ Cryer played for Baylor for a couple years, won a national championship in 2021, went over to Houston, which I believe is a one seed at least the last year or maybe two. So he's been playing big games. And then Will Richard just played and won a national championship with Florida. So you like to see guys like that that can come in and compete for a spot, and winning can be in some guys' DNA, and the Warriors seem to find a lot of that high IQ winning type intangibles in the draft. So we'll see what they can become. But promising that, if not both of them, at least one of them could be contributing a bit. I know there's a little log jam at your guard positions, but for all we just said, someone wants to step up and be a good perimeter defender, knock down some shots, give you a little ball handling, you'll find your way into some minutes. Lastly, we'll just finish with a little Kuminga watch, which we'll probably do every game for the entire season. But of that, for I guess he played, I want to say 18 minutes, whatever he did. The first half came in with that second group. I thought he's interesting, right? He's trying to be this player. You can see he's buying into the role of, hey, that ball hits his hands and he doesn't want it to stick. Even if it's just like swinging the ball or just getting that ball moving, even if it's, hey, when I am going to attack, I'm going to get in the paint, and now I'm just going to look to pass. And there was kind of just like a chaotic, just hey, get in the paint, and oh, Al Horford's like 3 feet away from me, but rather than get stuck, I'm just going to give him the ball, and we got a basket from it. And it's not the prettiest, although there were a couple nice little driving kicks. He kicked one to the corner to Pajemski, who missed the three. Had another one to Pajemski earlier that made the three, but the idea is there, right? He wants to be a pass first, just be a playmaker, and just trying to make the right play. And I think as the game slows down for him, as he gets more reps, keep in mind he didn't really scrimmage since offseason. He didn't really play 5-on-5, so it's been pretty impressive that he is able to come in and it seems like he has a better feel on the offensive side of the court. And yeah, I think also he settled for some threes. And I think right now that's okay, because I think rather than saying, hey, he's settling and taking these threes and get a better shot, I want him in the mentality that I need to be a spacer. I believe in my 3-point shot. I believe I'm a 37% shooter, especially once my feet are set. I'm okay taking these shots, and I want to establish that, hey, I can space the floor, especially if you're going to give me that much room to shoot. I'm going to knock it down. And you're not going to establish that until you take those shots. So preseason, perfect time to take them. fourth quarter of regular season games, probably not quite so much. But again, if you're not willing to take them and you're not confident you're going to make them, then you're just never going to be a floor spacer to begin with. So by all means, fire away, continue keeping the ball moving, take the shots as you want. I don't need you necessarily just dribbling into traffic and taking a mid-range shot, which we know you're capable of, and you can do it at times, but it's not the most efficient. So we didn't see too much of that, and you can just see the game kind of tending to evolve, at least in theory. At the same time, I don't want you to get away from being aggressive and doing what has what you do well, and that's just attack the hoop. And even though it might be a little reckless sometimes, it's being an athlete, attacking, exploding to the hoop, getting bailed out by fouls sometimes. But again, you're not going to improve that until you keep on doing it and you start to get a little bit more crafty, more controlled, make better decisions. And that's a part of your game that you provide that no one really else on the Warriors can do. Short of Jimmy Butler getting foul baiting and getting to the line, something that Kuminga needs to stay committed to, but still at the same time doing all these new things that the Warriors are asking him to do. So I think he's tiptoeing that line and trying to find that middle ground. That being said, he had four turnovers and had his usual mistakes here or there, so we'll give him a pass for now. Lastly, he had the defensive highlight of the game, a monster block on one of the most athletic guys in the league, Shaedon Sharpe. They just both elevated and both jumped off 2 feet, and Kuminga met him up top, pinned them against the backboard, got called for a foul, and we were treated to several nice slow replays so we could all admire that block as the call got overturned. So things to like from Kuminga, things to continue working on. All right. That's all we're taking away from this game. We'll be back next Sunday, I believe, and I think it's the Lakers again. So we'll revisit you after that time. Until next time, this has been Christian. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.